NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Imagine what's possible when learning doesn't get in the way of life. At Capella University, our FlexPath learning format lets you learn on your own schedule. A different future is closer than you think with Capella University. Learn more at capella.edu.
Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
Thanks to Vodafone Business. With cybersecurity solutions from Vodafone, your business can hack off the hackers. See vodafone.ie/business.
This is News Talk.
Yeah, you're very welcome to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Coming up over the next hour, I'll chat with the head of Samsung Mobile in Ireland about the brand new S25 lineup. What makes it different, and just how important will AI be for the day-to-day consumer? Plus, we'll hear about the importance of events such as iWish that encourage young girls and women into the world of STEM. As always, you can drop me an email if you wish. Techtalk@newstalk.com is the email address, or you'll find me on Instagram at JessKellyNT. Obviously, there's been an awful lot going on in the world of politics this week. The week kicked off with President Trump and his inauguration. It was fascinating to see the big tech leaders on the stage behind him as that inauguration happened. There's obviously a lot of concern about what's happening in the tech sphere in relation to the alignment of those companies with the vision of President Trump. We will unpack some of that over the coming weeks. I feel like you don't want to do that knee-jerk reaction. I think we need to let the dust settle ever so slightly and then delve a little bit deeper into the potential implications of this, not only for tech users around the world, but obviously specifically for those of us living in Ireland. We do play or host the headquarters, the European headquarters of many of those big companies that were on the stage. So what will happen there? Also, we saw some people reporting disruption or some form of interference on their social media accounts as well. So, as I said, once the dust settles and there's been a bit of processing time, we will take a closer look at that. Closer to home, we finally have a government being appointed, and it'll be interesting to see what happens now with the Department of Communications. The focus that's placed on, you know, connectivity, the National Broadband Plan, as we know, is continuing to roll out. But also I'm interested to see what happens within the Department of Education. So, plenty to unpack. But I personally feel, I don't know about you, I personally need a little bit of time to digest. And while we digest, let's focus on some newness, because on Wednesday of this week, Samsung unveiled its S25 lineup. This is the flagship device for the company. We have three new models. There's the S25, the S25 Plus, and the S25 Ultra. Now, on a surface level, you may not think there's much of a difference, but I caught up with Anika Bizon, who's the senior marketing and omnichannel director at Samsung Electronics UK and Ireland, who's the head of the Mobile Ireland division. And she told me a little bit more about this lineup and particularly what makes it stand out.
So we are launching the S25 range back into market, and this is the first really big game change on what we're doing with AI. So I'm really super excited to show the consumers all the hard work that's been going on in the background.
The S range has been around for quite a while now, as the name would give away, with the S25. When Samsung was approaching this device, because it is, you know, a market leader and it is a firm favorite, how important was it to balance new elements of design alongside the innovative software?
I think they sit hand in hand. You know, I mean, I'll come on to some of the great new features we've got. But, you know, aside from that, people still buy a phone because of the great camera. Camera is so important. So we made sure we've done some incredible things with the camera. People also buy a phone because of the fact that it's got brilliant battery life, it's got the fastest processor. And we can't forget that they are fundamentals when you're looking at the next phone you want to buy. You want to know that it can do all the things you want it to do, but also it's it's got the best platform to do that on. And we also want to make sure that it looks nice. It's designed so that it can fit in your hand and work effectively for you. Aesthetics are really important.
Can you just talk us through the new S25 devices? So what's in the lineup and what makes them different?
100%. So let me start with what's different, because that's the really exciting stuff. You know, if you think about the one thing we all want in life is probably time back. You know, it's a classic. We're time poor, and you know, there's always too much to do in a day. And so the way I would look at the new S25 is it's like having a personal assistant in your pocket. What it does is it brings together seamlessly all the apps that are on your phone that currently work independently and makes complex tasks really simply done by bringing them together. So let me give an example of this particular feature. First of all, it understands how I like to talk to my phone, so how I talk. So I don't have to change things, because naturally, when you start talking to a phone or you're talking to any kind of technology, people dumb down their language a little bit. So first of all, it understands how I talk. The second point is, you imagine, and I had this situation recently. I was going for lunch with a friend, booked the restaurant, all good. Then I realized 2 hours before, an hour and a half, 2 hours before, that she's gluten-free, extreme gluten-free. I didn't know the area particularly while we were having lunch, and so I spent the next 20 minutes panicking, ringing around trying to find a restaurant at the same time as on the internet. The two things that, you know, happened there is, one, stress, and secondly, I lost time I'm never going to get back. If I have a Galaxy S25, all I have to do is say, can you find me a restaurant in Southeast London that caters for gluten-free people? It would send me back a list of restaurants that cover that. I could choose which one I want. Then I can send that restaurant to my friend seamlessly through my voice, send it to Claire, and then not only that, put it in her diary. Her diary, how simple that is compared to the stress of what I actually had to go through. So it really complex tasks. It works across app to make it super easy. Now, you know, there's also some other features, which this is another one that I'm really passionate about. It's something called Now Brief and Now Bar. Now Brief will give me, I wake up in the morning, you know, whatever device you use to monitor your sleep, it'll tell me how I've slept. It'll then give me a schedule, a run through of all the things I've got in the day, and not just the diary invites I've got. It'll tell me what the weather's like, whether I need to carry an umbrella. It'll tell me if my child has a school play that day that I need to make sure that I get her a costume for. If I'm getting it that day, I'm in trouble. But you know, I need to. It's saying to me, get. You know, these are the prompts in your life. I travel a lot, so it would also put my boarding pass in there, or tell me I've got to check into a flight. And then when I'm in my day, it'll send me little prompts. So you know, you get the update from maybe Outlook that says your next meeting's in 15 minutes. It'll also say to me, by the way, you need to leave the meeting you're in now if you want to pick the kids up, because the traffic's quite bad. And so really helping me and guiding me through my day in a really simplistic way, but to how I live my day versus what technology says I should be doing.
It is about making the technology work for you rather than you work for the technology. But I do wonder if you think there will be an education piece, or if it's needed to ensure that consumers aren't left behind. Because I know people who just buy the latest S model because they're fanatics, but they may not be overly au fait or overly confident when it comes to engaging with AI. So how do you balance that, or is it just completely self-explanatory and it runs itself?
I think that's a really, really good question. And we've learned a lot through the S24 launch, with when we launched AI into the market, around, first of all, the word AI by nature is quite a, it means a million things. What I'm really saying is personal assistant in your pocket. But I'm really in that's, if you were to take one thing, that's it. It's a personal assistant, something to support you. And I think we've got to remember that while AI is the technology and the advancement around how it's going to become more personalized, actually, what I really want is time back. And that's how we're going to communicate to our consumers and to people, is to just say, look, you know what, try it. And you know, through our marketing campaign, which is going to be again quite single-minded around, let's just tell you, you know, quite literally there's somebody, you know, hopefully you'll see it, walking down a road, and they just say, can I book a restaurant that's dog friendly? And, you know, it comes up with some suggestions. Like, why don't I try that? And then through prompts of how you set the phone up, it'll also tell you that story, and it'll help you understand what the device can do. And we will send updated prompts through the life cycle, depending on what you're using. Say, why don't you try this? And so, you know, there's the marketing element of it. There's also the in-life element around just updating people on, you can do this, have you tried this? And we can do that in lots of ways. We can do that through influencers, a day in the life type activity. We can do it through just social, like give this a go. And, you know, with all these things, the main thing that actually drives real patterns of change is when people start using it. And, you know, and I was asked recently, you know, will AI take our jobs? It's really interesting. It's the comment that you hear going around an awful lot at the moment. And my answer to that is AI won't take your job, but the person that's using it will get ahead by using AI. They might do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the change we're going to see and the transition, and it's not overnight, with the consumer is going to be, do you know what, this is just making my life easier, therefore I'll learn, I'll do it more. Mm-hmm. And our job is to communicate that and make sure that we're with them on that journey.
And can you explain a little bit about the cross collaboration between the device and then third party apps? Because we know that obviously Samsung has their own suite of apps, which are great. I use the Samsung Health one, for example. But when it comes to me interacting with the AI on my phone and then being able to send my friend the, you know, gluten-free restaurant or whatever it might be, are there any apps that it doesn't work with, or will it just ingrain in whatever the key apps are on my device?
First of all, through using AI, it's going to start to personalize the journey to what you use the most. So the one thing that's really incredible in the new data system and the security system we've brought together, which I'll come on to later, is something called a personal data engine. And that will understand the apps you're using the most, and it'll optimize against those apps. So that it makes sure that actually the right apps are in the forefront of the technology, you know, when you're asking a question. The second question around who we're partnering with, you know, we're publicly, obviously, Gemini is a key partner to us. We're using Bixby for some of that technology. We're also in the background in terms of the apps it actually can use. There's a multitude. We're an open brand, and we're making sure that we are in an open way talking to as many partners as possible to ensure that they are integrated into this new way of working. And to be honest, most of them are. You know, there's not many right now that stand out. And if they aren't available at launch, they will be coming into the ecosystem really, really quickly.
You mentioned there the word privacy, and that's obviously a big concern as well. Can you talk and just explain to those who might be a bit apprehensive, again, when they hear the notion of AI being ingrained in absolutely everything, around the measures that have been taken to ensure that devices remain secure, private, and, you know, for the user rather than information going elsewhere?
100%. So there is no privacy without strong security. That's our mantra. Basically, everything we do starts with the security and how it sits into our what we call a Knox vault. And that is the most, you know, we are incredibly proud of how we manage people's data through the Knox vault. So firstly, we passionately are going beyond industry standards. So right now we are going as far as post-quantum enhanced data protection, very techie words to use, but the industry standards on where AI data needs to be, we're already ahead of that. So we've built that into the S25 device to make sure that we are not just thinking for now, but for the future. The second thing is we've brought the operating system that it's working on is something called One UI 7, which again, to take that away from the techie world, firstly, it's building your own personal data engine, which means that you are in control of where your data sits, whether that sits on the cloud or on device, you decide. And that's so important for people. And wherever it is, we're protecting it through the Knox vault. Not only that, we're also taking that to the next point where we've got something called Samsung Knox Matrix, because we have lots of devices in our lives connected. You know, whether it's our buds or whether it's another tablet, all of that is also protected through this S25 software. So we are taking our responsibilities on this very, very seriously around on device, off device, where else you put your data. And then finally, I'd say is, you know, this is just from a security is not just what's on the device. It's also if your device gets stolen. And with One UI 7, we've actually got something called, there's a number of different safety features, but one of them is called theft protection. And I'm really excited about this because theft protection and auto blocker means if someone snatches your phone in the street, which is generally where most phones get stolen, it will automatically lock your phone and only you can unlock it. Not only that, if someone someone comes past on a scooter, grabs my phone, it will lock the phone. I can also put on a beep that they can't turn off, and I can track that phone now to within 10 centimeters of where it is. Nobody's getting into my phone. It's only me that can ultimately unlock that phone at that point through my Samsung account. So for me, these are big steps around making sure that no matter what device you're on, the other thing I'd say, no matter which phone, Samsung have committed to 7 years, and we did this last year with the S24, 7 years of security and software updates. So this isn't just about the new device. This is saying we've got your back for 7 years to make sure that you feel like your data is always safe.
As you mentioned there, there's great support now, 7 years. Phones are built to last. They're much more durable. The materials that are used are much more durable than they were a number of years ago. Is Samsung feeling the pinch or the change in what we're hearing anecdotally in terms of consumer trends of hanging on to devices longer, not upgrading on every cycle and so on?
It's really interesting, actually, because, we are seeing people hold on to their phones for longer because, truthfully, they're expensive devices. And if it works, not everybody needs to change it every year. We know that. However, particularly in the Irish market, we're seeing a huge growth, 16% growth in the premium market. So people are making that decision to buy a phone, but they're also going, I probably want to have the best phone I can, because one, I'm going to keep it for longer. Secondly, there are some, obviously very strong offers in the market to support that, but I want the best technology. And actually the Irish market and the Irish consumer are quite a lot higher in terms of their choice of premium phone. So they want the very best phones. And I was quite surprised by how different that is across Europe. It's definitely within Ireland, what we're seeing is that people are prepared to pay a bit more for a phone, but they want to know that phone is going to last.
In terms of the spec, the internal spec of the phone, has that had to be beefed up significantly to facilitate and to accommodate the AI and the other processes that are working in the background?
It has, actually. And, it's a really good point. The Snap, we've actually worked with Qualcomm, who are one of the, they helped us create the processor and the battery. Basically, we have the fastest processor and longest battery that we've got in any phone. We've also had to look at things like, everything ran down to the fact that the phone is actually 15% thinner, but we've also made something called the cooling chamber, which is really important if you're using your phone for gaming or using your phone for a long period. We've actually made the cooling system bigger. So the phone is, you can't bring the best technology and game-changing technology without making sure that you've got the foundations that can run this technology to an optimum level. So we have changed a number of things. The glass on it is 30% more scratch resistant. As I mentioned, it's thinner. We've wrapped the aesthetics of it are slightly different. This phone is built in every single area to be better than anything we've done in the past. And I really mean that, having used it myself for a few days. I'm like, this is a really different way of using technology. And, and I haven't even talked about the camera or some of the hardware, which I will come on to. The camera itself is, we've taken something we call a Pro Visual Engine, which is the engine that kind of runs the camera. And we've made that four times better in low light. So it means that you are, much as I think the weather is always beautiful in Ireland, sometimes the light can be a bit low and a bit flat. Therefore, it will upscale that by four times, not only for your camera, for photos, but also for video. And we've never done that in video. Nightography videos, I don't know how many times I've gone out and watched my kids playing football and it's been really, really bad light. And I've gone, I just wish that I could make this feel a bit more, I could actually see it better. You'll be able to do that. Alongside the fact that we've brought in a 15 megapixel ultra wide zoom, which, again, I don't mean Christmas time and you're trying to take a photo of the family and you generally cut the people off at the end, or you end up with your mother-in-law sat on your daughter's lap, or someone's, you have to sort of squish everyone in. This will be able to take the whole photo of everybody together. And so that's another thing. The final piece I'd say in terms of the actual spec of the camera and what's changed is we've introduced something called Audio Eraser, which means you can, let's say you're at a concert, it's low light, I'm using my video and it's like I can upscale the video, brilliant. I'm with one of my friends who is believes that she can sing as well as Chris Martin, and she's singing her heart out. And at that point, when she's singing her heart out, I'm like, I really love you, but I would really like to listen to Chris Martin. I can actually just down her a little bit in the audio. And, you know, a layman like me who's not super tech savvy can do that in a really simple way. I can play with the photo to make sure that the video, to make sure that it really is the best quality I can make.
So the phones are on the way. We obviously know, and we spoke about 2 weeks ago at CES, some of the other exciting tech coming down the track in terms of Samsung. Is that vision for the Samsung ecosystem still strong? And do the phones still sort of reign reign large in that vision for the ultimate Samsung connected life?
100%. We are deeply, you know, we're passionate about the fact that, one is, we're an open brand, so you can put anything into a Samsung ecosystem, you know, into your Samsung world. It doesn't just need to be Samsung, you know, that will connect to a doorbell if you want a doorbell from another brand. It's all about giving you the best experience we possibly can. We are, you know, we are definitely going to be expanding that, and you'll see some of this come through over the next few weeks after Unpacked's launched. With Unpacked, you'll also see things like we are going to be using AI across all of our technology. So, for example, I'll give you a really simple example. I wear a Galaxy Ring, and if I fall asleep in front of my TV, my Galaxy Ring, not through my TV, not through looking at me and spying on me, just the fact my heart rate's changed and I've calmed down, it will turn the TV down for me. Now, those sort of little things just make life a little bit easier, and that connected story is going to become a bigger part of what we do going forward, because it's always been something we're really passionate about. With AI, it gives you great opportunities through your choice of how you want to connect your technology, just to make your life easier.
Brilliant stuff. Well, look, we will have reviews on the station in the coming weeks of the new devices. But for the moment, thank you so much for joining me here on News Talk.
Thank you so much. All the best. Thank you.
That was Anika Bison of Samsung. As I said there, I will have reviews of the devices soon. I'm still waiting for them to land on my desk. But what I found interesting is that the majority of that conversation revolved around the software more than the hardware. It used to be back in the day that when a phone is launched, the companies are all talk about the design. And, you know, things like camera placement and the size of the buttons, if there are buttons, and, you know, battery and all that kind of stuff. This seems to be very much focused on the AI application. And I'll be interested to see, when I get to play around with it, how useful it is. The examples that we heard there sound very, very useful. I'm excited now, I have to say, to get my hands on it. For sure. And we will bring you those reviews right here on News Talk. But when we come back after the break, I'm going to chat with one of the co-founders of iWish about their mission to get young girls into the world of STEM.
Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
Welcome back to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Now, earlier in the show, I said that I suppose we need a bit of processing time, or I need a bit of processing time from all of the news that has gone on both here and in America over the last week or so. But elsewhere in America, outside of Washington, we know that folks in Los Angeles are still recovering from the fires that caused incredible devastation. And I want to bring you a snippet of a conversation I heard on the Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend podcast. It was uploaded, I think, on Tuesday of this week. It's about 45 minutes in duration, and I watched it on YouTube and listened to every single word, because it's a beautiful conversation between Conan O'Brien, his assistant Sona, and their producer Matt about their personal experience of the fires. Take a listen.
That's the question, is what can we do for you? You know, you're loved. You've got all of us here. Money aside.
Oh.
And money and
I need money.
Money and food.
I need lots. Can I live in your house? Can we all come live in your house?
Can I just set the parameters first?
Oh.
Money aside, food aside, clothing aside.
Oh.
Love and affection aside.
Love and affection aside. Sheltering you in any way at any one of my 19 mansions scattered.
Any further contact aside.
Yeah. Is there anything I can do for you? And also, I'm letting you go.
Oh, no.
Is this a bad time?
No, bad time.
I mean, you might as well pull off the Band-Aid.
Here's what I'm saying. The Band-Aid's mostly torn off. Let's go the rest of the way.
I need this. I know. I'm like, am I?
I had to make a decision. You were Gorley, and he does so much in the editing.
I've worked for you for so long.
Yeah, but... Conan fires Sona on podcast where she talks about losing her home. I'm looking forward to that headline.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I am really glad your house is, because the Palisades is also very, very scary.
Yeah.
And I really was worried you were going to lose it. And I know you're not attached to the things in your, like you're saying you
are,
but
things...
I'm very attached to the things in your house. And I think also if you lost yours, it would overshadow mine a lot. So in a way that I'm like, just really happy that you're okay.
I'm going to have mine destroyed. It makes you feel better.
This is the ultimate. I get to talk last thing that you guys do,
yeah,
you know,
I
where
know.
You get the last
oh,
word.
Oh, so you say you lost your house, did you? Well, guess what?
Oh, my God.
My leg kind of hurts. So I think I win. You know, you've got us, yeah. and we will all help you in any way we can.
Thank you.
And I do think that this is, there's no way to fast forward through this. It's going to be a day-to-day thing for you for quite a while.
I do. I know we talked about Altadena a lot, and we joked about it a lot, but... Mm-hmm. It is a really special place.
Yeah.
It was an incredible place to raise my kids. Mm-hmm. And I hope we find a way to get back there. Even after all this, I just, I've lived in LA my whole life, and I was just, that's the happiest I've ever been.
Right.
So I just want to make sure people know it's a really incredible place. It's an incredible community. The people there are just amazing. The way that also Los Angeles is just banded together is,
yes.
As someone who is from here, and girls, I know you're from here too. It's really inspiring. It's beautiful.
Yeah, that is a snippet from Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. That is Conan's assistant Sona talking about losing her home in the LA fires. They also link to different organizations that you can support if you do have a few quid to help with the recovery operations in Altadena and elsewhere in Los Angeles. But it just jumped out at me. We have this is a bit inside baseball now, but we have this phrase of, you know, a Hoover stopping moment. So something that you hear that kind of makes you stop in your tracks, I guess. And that conversation for me was absolutely a Hoover stopping moment. You can watch the full thing up on YouTube, or you can listen to the podcast. It's just called Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. Now, one of my favorite events of the year is taking place in the RDS in Dublin on the 6th of February. It is called I Wish, and it is a fantastic initiative to encourage young girls into the world of STEM. So be that science, technology, engineering, or maths. And I was delighted to catch up with Caroline O'Driscoll, who's one of the co-founders. And she started off by telling me a little bit more about the event.
Sure. So I Wish is a social enterprise that we set up 11 years ago now to empower teenage girls to pursue STEM careers. And I suppose it started off as, you know, our flagship event is a conference and exhibition. The conference piece is about putting female role models on the stage to tell their story. And the exhibition piece is showing girls what it's like to work in STEM. We've had 70,000 girls now through the programme over the last 11 years. And we've expanded into lots of different things throughout the year. Tech for Good programme. We now go into primary schools. We've mentorship programmes. So it has expanded quite significantly over that period of time.
I know, and it's very frustrating when it happens, but I know that there'll be people who eye roll at the concept of having events like this just for girls. But can you just paint a picture of the tech sector and why you felt there was a need and an opportunity for something such as I Wish here in Ireland?
Yeah, so I go back 11 years and I was involved in kind of a lot of organisations locally around kind of industry clusters for tech and that. And one of the big issues that was emerging at that time was around talent. And there was not enough talent in tech, and Ireland wasn't able to attract enough talent. And I was on the board of a group called IT at Cork. I eventually chaired it. And I'm looking around the room saying, well, where are all the women? And started to research it a bit. And got the statistics from the colleges in Ireland. And in the previous 10 years, so I'm looking now between, like, say, 2004 and 2014, the female participation in the likes of engineering and tech was just 15%. But what was most worrying actually was it hadn't moved at all in the previous 10 years. So when I looked around, what was the kind of programs that were working in Ireland, what was happening in Ireland, lots were focused on women in business and women in the workplace. But actually, for us, I think it was clear that the pipeline was leaky. And that really was a genesis of IWISH. We kind of said, well, there's an intervention needed here because actually it hasn't improved in the last 10 years. So we do need something focused on girls to try and change the dial.
And were there easy wins or low-hanging fruit when it came to addressing some of those issues? Like I know myself, and it's funny, during the week I was doing a bit of a clear out and I found some of my leaving cert notes and my school diaries from when I was in secondary school. And I can kind of see the subjects that I did in school, but they weren't very technically minded. And I suppose there was that preconceived notion or that stereotype, I guess, that there were certain subjects in schools aimed towards girls, some that were aimed towards boys, and that was the height of it. Was that one of the obvious low-hanging fruits that existed back 11 years ago when you started, or was there something bigger at play?
I think stereotypes were alive and well for sure. And you can still see it to this day in terms of, the participation of girls in certain subjects, like physics, like technology, like engineering, is still quite male dominated. I think the trick for us, and we did focus groups very early on, and actually the first thing that came out of that, it wasn't really about subject choices at all. It was about role models and what girls were telling us, 15, 16 years of age, we just don't see enough role models in STEM. When we look up, it's usually men we see. This girl from Emma from Bannenden said that to me. And it really struck a chord. And that was actually the easy win because we said, well, actually, we do know women in STEM. We just need them to tell their story. And that's where we came up with the conference element. We said, okay, we're going to have these women on the stage to tell their story. And that piece, it just hit a note. It really, really was so impactful. I think things like subject choices in schools, it's really important to address this. But it takes a long time to change that. And for us, that easy win was role models and getting those women on the stage.
Yeah, we've seen great work being done in the sports sphere as well. The 20 by 20 campaign is the one that instantly springs to mind. We're seeing more and more women, on programs like our own Off the Ball. We're seeing brilliant presenters coming out like our own Kathleen McNamee. And that thing of if you can see it, you can be it. It really does seem to resonate, particularly with the younger generations as well, when they are consuming so much media, to see women out there in the field of interest, or perhaps something that they have never contemplated, really does seem to make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And it resonates so strongly with them. And the sport is interesting. Like we have Phil Healy now speaking at the event this year, one of our relay runners. She's also a software engineer, which is amazing. But again, it's allowing people like that or giving the opportunity for women like that to tell their story. And these young girls, they respond so strongly to it. Like when we do our survey, we survey the girls every year because it's such a huge data set for us. And consistently, we ask them, what are the things that would change the dial for you? And nearly 60% say we need more role models to visit our schools. They are crying out for this. They want to see these women and they want to hear their stories.
One thing that I've been struck by over the, I think I'm in News Talk 16 or 17 years now, and over that time, one thing that struck me, the more I get involved in the tech sector, is that the stereotype of a person who works in technology no longer exists because the roles, the stereotypical roles of people working within the tech sector no longer exists. So yes, you still have coders and you've programmers, but you also have people working in HR, in creative design, in AI application, and it does require every sort of role. So if you are, or if your child is doing the leaving cert and maybe they're incredibly interested in the arts, that doesn't discount them from working in the STEM sphere. Sure, it doesn't.
Pretty not. And like we've had over the years, like a created zone that I wish to absolutely bring that alive. You think of your graphic design, you think of customer experience is really, really important. When we started with I wish, AI wasn't even a concept. AR, VR was very early stages and it has evolved very, very quickly. And it does need, such a broad spectrum of talent in the tech sector. And I'd also say, we talk about the tech tech sector, but tech, it permeates every part of our lives now. You see it in sport, you see it in food, you see it in finance. So it's pervasive in every single kind of platform, business sector that we look at. And, you know, you young people are online a lot, you know, they shop online. They're all driven by platforms in terms of online marketplaces. So it really has permeated nearly every industry. And I suppose for us, that's why we have the exhibition piece, because we try and bring that to life. So we bring the companies in to show them what they're doing, because I think one of the gaps we have with schools is the curriculum doesn't necessarily match over to here's the exciting opportunities that exist in STEM. They don't see it. They can't relate maths or physics or engineering in the classroom to that fantastic job. And that's where we come in to try and bring that to life.
And just talk to me a little bit about then this year's event. So it's taking place in February once again. What you alluded to one of the speakers there, but who else is going to speak on the day, and what companies or what roles will be showcasing the exhibition space?
Yeah, so like we spoke about Phil Healy, we have Zoe Hyde, who's one of our Olympic rowers. And then we have a host of women from, you know, companies that are participating, like Deloitte, Dell Technologies, Johnson & Johnson, the pharma space, and Merck, engineering companies, Qualcomm, Cisco there. So such a really broad spectrum. We have a food science cluster this year, which we're excited about. Carberry and Dawn Meats are coming in again to bring that element of food and technology to it. Sport Ireland are involved again, showing, like, you know, the analytics in sport or the physics in terms of how to optimize performance, or even just down to, you know, the design of running shoes and how that impacts. So a real range of kind of speakers. You know, the construction industry have a strong presence, you know, because like engineering, it's not just about building roads or building houses. You know, the advancements of technologies like 3D modeling, robotics, all the technology aspects that now the construction industry have fully embraced, that's going to be there. And we have some fun stuff too. We have a giant Jenga game there just to show like what problem solving means in engineering. So some really cool stuff, really with the ambition to bring STEM and the full ambit of STEM to life.
You mentioned there that this is, you've been going now for 11 years. Have you stayed in touch with any of the young participants who might have been at the first or second year of I Wish to follow them through and to see the impact of attending events like this?
Yes, and that's been a lovely, I would say, unintended consequence of I Wish, because we never imagined this, but we do keep in contact with them. We've created an alumni community, and it's really, really special. And we track these women. Some of them are in college, many are now in the workforce. And what's lovely is they kind of pay it forward through this alumni program. So this year, for example, or sorry, last year, we piloted a primary school program where we matched some of that alumni with their old primary school and created a program to bring them back into the classroom. We had an I Wish watch party. And that was just amazing to see, you know, this 25-year-old woman who went to I Wish 10 years ago, didn't know what she was going to do. And now she's a software engineer and she's telling that story to a 12-year-old in her old school. It's extremely special. It's an absolutely fantastic community. So they're a real core part of what we do. And they will be volunteers at the event in RDS next month. So it's a really special community.
My final question, I suppose, relates to, you started by saying the importance of role models. And I guess I know a lot of women working in the tech space and they're doing incredible things, but they wouldn't necessarily see themselves as role models or want to put themselves forward as a role model. That comes back to, I think, one of the key areas, which is confidence in young girls, women, and if it's not addressed, you know, middle-aged women. How do we go about addressing that to ensure that they're not afraid to lend their voice? They're not afraid to go back to their primary school or their secondary school and talk to the young girls and women, and indeed the boys that are there now.
I think it's about support and mentorship. And you're quite right. Again, in our survey last year, 53% of teenage girls said they lacked confidence in their ability to pursue a STEM career. Now, what I would say on the positive side, when we started surveying, that was as high as 80%. So things are improving. But actually to think that, like, you know, sitting in a classroom, half of the girls are thinking that they can't, that really gets at the heartstrings. An interesting one this year, when we looked at primary schools, 24% of 12-year-olds are saying they're confident in their sorry, 24% of 12-year-olds are saying they're not confident in their ability. So in other words, 76% are expressing confidence, much higher than teens. So there's something happening, and we're not quite sure what. Confidence levels are dipping between tween and teen. And we're going to work with our survey this year and our partners in UCC to see if we can ask more questions around that to probe it. But there is something happening there. We speak a lot about confidence, and at the I Wish event, our speakers do. We talk to girls about, being anything, doing anything, but like how to make that a practical reality is, programs like I Wish, our primary school program, and getting them involved in it. We had a lovely little stat coming from our own data. If a girl attends three or more extracurricular STEM events, she's more likely to do STEM subjects to her leaving cert. So there's a direct correlation between going to a STEM event, and whether that's an I Wish or a BT Young Scientist, and actually doing STEM. So I think it's exposure, it's mentorship, it's support, and just keep talking to young women about those barriers and acknowledging the barriers are there and how we break them down.
Brilliant stuff. Well, look, if you want more information about the event, you can head to iwish.ie. Karen, thank you so much for joining me here on News Talk.
Thank you.
Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
Welcome back to the final part of this week's Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. I'm going to answer some of your tech questions in just a quick minute. But before I do, I have some more recommendations for you. I mentioned on last week's show about Lockerbie, which is fantastic. Quite a few of you got on to me asking if I'd seen Bad Sisters, the latest series, yet. I still haven't watched it. I cancelled my Apple TV subscription a while back. And I haven't gotten it back yet, but maybe I'll do that this week. Who knows? But this week's recommendation for you is one of the most ridiculous podcasts, but I absolutely love it. It's called What Did You Do Yesterday? And it's co-hosted by Max Rushton, who football fans will know, and then Irish comedian David O'Doherty. And the premise of it is just so simple. They invite different guests on and just ask them, what did they do yesterday? And I don't know what makes it such a compelling listen, but it very much is. And I really, really enjoyed it. So that is one recommendation for you. The other recommendation, and I mentioned again last week on the show that I've kind of been slow to get into my reading this year, but I listened to the audiobook of Johnny Sexton's book, Obsessed. And I really enjoyed the audiobook. It's quite a nice listen. I would have a moderate level of interest in rugby. I'd be a Leinster supporter. I'd go to quite a few of the Irish matches. And I've always been fascinated by Johnny Sexton in particular. But it's brilliant. You get to hear his a bit about his younger life, about his finding rugby and developing, but also not instantly succeeding. It is very, very well written, and the narrator, I can't remember the narrator's name. Johnny Sexton just reads the foreword and then somebody else voices the rest of the book. But it's fascinating. I was talking to a friend of mine about this the other day. I'm fascinated by the world of sports psychology, and you do get quite an interesting insight into that in this book as well. So if you haven't listened to it or read it, I would recommend it. As I said, it's called Obsessed by Johnny Sexton. And it's worth noting and remembering that you can listen to audiobooks for free if you are a Spotify premium subscriber. So there you are. They are my recommendations for you. If you have any for me, as always, please do drop me an email to techtalk@newstalk.com. Right, let's have a quick look at the inbox and see the questions that have arrived in. First up, we have an email here from Terry, who says, "Hi Jess, I recently got an update for my phone. It's reduced the battery life. Could you recommend a phone at the price range of around €500, please? And thanks for the help." Yeah, so you've got plenty of options to choose from. John Riley was on the show last week or the week before, talking through some of the new handsets that are coming down the tracks. But the Samsung A52 is excellent. You could also get the Pixel 6 or Pixel 7. I think the Pixel 7 would be an excellent buy in and around that price bracket. Nokia have some great phones too. It's quite difficult to buy a bad smartphone now, I'll be honest with you. But if it was me, for in and around €500, I would look at a Pixel or I would look at a Samsung. So I hope that helps you. Next up, we have an email here from Poddy who says, hi Jess, I love the show. Thank you so much. How about a feature on the Switch 2, which is expected to have a hardware reveal? When do you think it'll actually launch? Also, do you think Apple Watches are worth it or just a novelty? Are the sleep trackers on them good in terms of accurate data? Thanks and keep up the good work, Poddy. Poddy, thank you so much for your email. We did talk about the Switch 2 with John Riley, who I just mentioned. Like, you'd think I'd know when he was on the show last week. I'm pretty sure it was last week. But if you listen back to that, the first bit of our conversation was about the Switch 2. And we made that exact point of, you know, you'd want to ensure that there is a decent level of upgrade in terms of the hardware to warrant upgrading your Switch, particularly if you're already a Switch user. So listen back to that conversation, and then we are expecting more information in April. So as soon as we have it, we will bring it for you, or bring it to you, and of course have a review the second I get my paws on a device. But I'm very, very excited about the Switch 2, I have to say. In terms of the Apple Watch, I suppose, look, the key point that I always come back to with these is that it depends on what you want it for, right? If you want it as a productivity tool, so to be able to check your emails and your messages and stuff like that on the watch, it is excellent. The health app is excellent. I'm a big fan of the Apple Fitness stuff, and that was what kept me with an Apple Watch for so long. But they are expensive. If you want a tracker that will just monitor your movement and your sleep, there are much more affordable options out there. You can go for the likes of a Fitbit Charge. Fitbit Charge 6 is a very affordable one. It's around €160, and it will work with your iPhone as well, but for a fraction of the cost. So again, it kind of just depends on what it is that you need and want from it. I've mentioned this a few times on my Instagram, but I'm not actually wearing a smartwatch anymore. Now, I'm wearing a smart tracker. I'm wearing a Whoop, and I have been for the last month or so. So again, assess your needs and wants. And if you're not married to the idea of the Apple Watch and the look and feel of the Apple Watch, then absolutely look at the Fitbit Charge 6. That being said, Apple Watch is great. It's just about what suits your life and your budget. I hope that helps. If you have any questions for me, drop me an email to techtalk@newstalk.com. I'm going to be back with Shane and Kira. No, I'm not, actually. I've just remembered I'm off on Monday. I'll be back with Pat Kenny on Tuesday morning. So if you have any questions in the interim, again, the email is techtalk@newstalk.com. Make sure you search for the Tech Talk podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And I will chat to you next week. Enjoy.
Imagine what's possible when learning doesn't get in the way of life. At Capella University, our FlexPath learning format lets you learn on your own schedule. A different future is closer than you think with Capella University. Learn more at capella.edu.